This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, brought to you by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit cropmetcalf.com and you can join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cake Sawville and Jason Bishop. Week one of the NFL preseason is upon us. We'll get back to the Commanders in training camp with Michael Phillips from the Richmond Times-Dispatch at 8 o'clock. He covers them every day and give us the skinny on Carson Wentz and more. But Drabby put on the outline that Valdez is hyping up a 90s fashion trend. Now, is this something that you noticed at the beach?
I think I know what it is.
It is something I noticed at the beach.
Okay.
A 90s fashion
trend. On the beach itself, or like when you were out at the bars?
Well, I had it at the beach.
Okay.
So I think this thing is essential when going to the beach.
Now I know what it is.
And my dad used to have one.
Okay.
When I was a little tyke and we would all go to the beach. And I've kind of adopted the same thing. But fanny packs. All right. When you're out on the beach,
yeah,
and you got to carry your cell phone and wallet, and
yeah,
keys and everything, uh-huh, and you know you don't want it to sand to get on your phone or water to get on your phone. You shove it in a fanny pack and you zipper it up.
Mm-hmm.
Water.
And I texted Drab over the weekend.
Yeah,
and I said all I could think about was AWOD, because I said AWOD should adopt a fanny pack, because these things are like conversation starters.
Oh, they are.
Yeah,
icebreakers.
Yeah, I didn't know everyone is seeing your fanny pack and is commenting on it. Not to mention it hides your big fat gut. All right, and you're out and about, and people are like, oh my god, you got a fanny pack. Where did you get one of those?
Are people really?
Yeah,
doing
I
that?
Swear to God, they are amazed that someone's wearing a fanny pack.
I have noticed
in 2022,
especially like when I'm at MGM National Harbor, like in the poker room. It used to be like poker players would wear backpacks everywhere, and now it's morphed into either fanny packs or like a shoulder bag, like
the man purse.
Yeah, like a man purse slash nerd sack. I mean, guys always.
Were you correct on your guess?
Oh yeah, yeah. So as soon as he started talking about it, I knew he was talking about a fanny pack.
Do you have one?
I do not have one.
They're the oldest, newest, hottest thing.
What do you do with your wallet, keys, and all that sort of stuff when you go to the beach?
When I go to Bung Bung Beach,
yes.
I don't bring my wallet. There's no need for me to have a wallet at the beach. Like, but I just stuff my phone like in a beach bag with towels, yeah, and like a box of extra toasty Cheez-Its and my sunscreen. I mean, I don't have the need for a nerd sack, but maybe I should look into one.
I usually just bring a backpack I throw on the back of my, you know, over my shoulder.
Yeah, but right, you have to rummage through all that stuff.
I don't
usually take a lot to the beach. I mean, there's not much you have to take.
You like the convenience of the nerd sack being right there in your midsection.
I do.
It's got everything you need.
I do.
You know
but
what
do
I
you
make
bring
sure
it beyond the beach? So when you're on the sand, all right, I get it. You want to protect your phone. You've got your wallet,
yeah,
in case you want to do what are the photoscapes or whatever?
Oh, scopes.
Scopes.
Whatever the hell they're called.
Yeah. I'm not an Ocean City guy.
Scopes.
Clearly. Scopes. Come on.
Scopes, yeah.
I don't think I've been to Ocean City in 20 years.
Doesn't matter. Scopes stay with you forever.
No, so after being on the beach, you're going to go grab some food.
Right.
All right.
Go to Dumpsters. You go to Thrasher's.
And you're hanging out and you're in line or you're sitting down. And people are noticing your fanny pack.
It's a good way?
What?
In a good way, or are they kind of joning?
So, no, well, it's kind of both, but when they talk to you, it's all good-hearted.
Right.
But I told Drab that the thing is that you have to have a designer fanny pack. You can't just have a $6 Sensations, a bright red fanny
you just
pack.
You can't have a number.
It needs to be like a name brand, high-end, high-fashion fanny
pack. Okay, so what are the hot fanny packs now?
So Lululemon.
So a Lulu, or you have like a Gucci or something.
Well, I'm not that rich, Case.
Right. But, I don't know. You're saying high end.
But you walk around with that and,
you can't walk
it,
around
and it starts
like
it starts turning heads.
You can't walk around with like a Nautica fanny
no,
pack.
No, you can't do that.
Tommy Hilfiger fanny pack.
You're
no.
just naming a bunch of 90s.
Right. Talking about like what you would buy like at a Macy's. Like you can't do that.
And I'm telling you, you give off this vibe that you're just too cool.
Okay.
All right.
Really?
Yes.
All right. If you say so.
I would think the other way.
No. It's
you're confident.
Yeah, you're confident.
You don't care what people
you're
think.
Confident you're confident enough to wear a fanny pack.
All right. It's like wearing a pink shirt or something.
Yeah.
You got
I'm
you got balls.
I feel manly enough that I can wear this crappy 90s fashion around. And I don't care if you make fun of me.
I think I'm much more comfortable wearing like pink polo shirt than I would be wearing a fanny pack. It would just seem weird to me. But look, if you love it, if it's one of your new fashion statements, please do it. Please.
And you clearly are more confident. You wear the water shoes every time you go to the beach. So
sure,
you don't care about that.
No,
And I guarantee you, people are joning.
That's fine.
But you don't care because you're confident.
There's a fine line between fanny pack and aqua socks.
You know who doesn't have cuts on the bottom of his feet when he comes out of the water?
Mm-hmm.
Guy with the water shoes.
Okay. Right. I did think about
cuts on the bottom of your feet.
JP, there
are you in the sharpest beach of all time?
No, there are
seashells.
There are critters everywhere. There are whelps on the bottom. There are shells.
I don't think I've ever had a cut.
You ever hear
from
of
the
a,
beach?
You ever hear of a horseshoe crab? I would rather not step on one of those with my bare
True,
feet.
True, but it's rare that people step on horseshoe crabs.
It's rare
and slice their foot up.
But it can and could happen.
Of course.
Certainly can happen.
One out of a thousand.
Here's what was the most annoying part. Valdez was at Secrets or whatever, and he told me that he went to the restroom, and he got stopped by some young man goes, "Hey, I know you're rich," to Valdez, all because he was wearing a fanny pack.
Yeah.
It's a status symbol now?
What was the brand of yours? It was a Lululemon?
It's a $30 fanny pack.
Right.
But this guy stopped me at the bathroom. And he looked at me, and he's a younger fella.
Yeah.
And he goes, "I know you're rich." Mm-hmm. Well, couldn't be farther from the truth.
Right. But, did that make you feel good?
No,
I know you're not rich.
No. But you want to know why? He said that not only a fanny pack. He goes, "Because you're in your 30s, and you got white hair." He goes, so he goes, "I know you're rich."
And what did you say to him?
That's funny.
I said, "You might be off a little bit." And he goes, "Nah." He goes, "You're worried about your business and your employees. That's why you got white hair."
Your employees.
Yeah.
I like that kid's soul read on you, though. I like it. That kid probably had 12 Bud Lights in him.
That's the guy Cakes wants to face at the poker table.
Oh, I'm dying
that guy tried making a hero Kong, and he was butt wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
He looked you up. You flopped over pocket aces on him.
If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067, I will say fanny packs are functional.
Certainly.
I hate having my wallet in my pocket. Like, when I do the show, I take it out and I put it on the desk. I mean, I put it right here on the console. I don't like having my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm in the car, I put it in the middle console. So a fanny pack, it's definitely functional.
Yeah, I'll never wear a fanny pack.
I probably won't either, but I think they are making a fashion comeback. Because, I mean, Valdez's on his Twitter is not the first one I've seen in a long time. I've seen a lot of them recently.
All right.
So I guess a fashion trend.
Be glad that you were not at the beach on Friday.
Okay.
I was actually worried about Valdez when I saw on Twitter the storm at Bethany Beach.
Oh, yeah. It looked pretty vicious.
I don't know how you didn't have him impaled bodies out there.
Yeah.
Impaled.
Impaled by the umbrellas.
I mean, there were umbrellas.
Did you see the video, James?
I did not.
People fleeing.
They look like 200 umbrellas flying in the air.
Like a sandstorm.
It looked like the Peloponnesian War. People were throwing spears.
nice war reference. Not easy. I know you went for the most obscure war you could think of. But
I was just trying to think of Roman Greek war.
I like it. I like where you went there.
Thank you.
Was it windy in Ocean City on Friday like that?
No, but there was a huge storm north, like near Fenwick.
I just like Valdez's picture on his Twitter of him posing outside of Sensations.
Hey, people are so dumb, too. They're like, oh, why are you wearing long sleeves? It's a sun shirt. It protects you against the UV rays.
Right. Well, you need that when you're out on the beach from 9:30 till 4
I know. PM. You think I don't know how to plan a whole beach day?
Of course you do. If anybody knows how to plan an Ocean City beach day, it's Matt Valdez.
You're getting some defense here on Twitter. Somebody tweets us at Junks Radio. Once you reach 40, now Valdez isn't 40, just turned 35, right?
He's got a ways to go.
Yeah, yeah. He said, you don't care anymore. Practical AF. Don't leave home without it.
Mm. He's just a little bit ahead of the curve.
Now, let me ask you, those umbrellas, there's no chance they got those umbrellas back. Those umbrellas are gone.
Unless they washed back on shore.
I mean, there's like 200 of them in the ocean.
I know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. They're grasping. You know what? They took an L that day.
They took a big time L.
They took a big L.
That's crazy.
Now, I don't know if those are all like rental umbrellas or those are the.
Well, not all of them, but I'm sure some of them are.
The cheapies that people bought at like Walmart and were barely stuck into the sand, but.
That is nuts.
That stinks. You lose your umbrella, you lose your shelter.
See, people are also clueless because. If you can't sense that there's a storm coming and you're still out there when the wind's blowing your umbrella 15 blocks down the beach, you're clueless.
Right. Like at some point.
Take your phone out and look at the weather map and say, uh-oh, there's a cell coming. We need to go.
Well, you don't even need to do that.
Well, you just look at the sky.
Look at the sky.
Just look out on the horizon.
But I'm saying before that.
Yeah.
You know, pay attention to the weather, people. Well, just pay attention. JP never pays attention.
I don't.
And then he goes out and he's on the 6th tee box and goes, oh, there's a storm coming. What? I mean, just have a clue.
How about you just look, I don't follow the weather like you. Yeah. But like before I went to Kiowa, I looked at the 10-day to see what the weather was going to be like.
Yeah,
and then each day before I went out on the beach,
it's very simple.
I would glance at my phone for 5 seconds. Oh, it's going to be high of 91 today. Buddy,
yeah, it's very
15%
simple.
Chance of storms. I'm good. JP just loves living in a bubble where he doesn't care about the weather.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
All right, let's go
to Josh in Florida and let's talk about fannies.
He's probably calling from like Clearwater Beach with his fanny pack on. What's up, Josh?
It's actually St. Pete Beach, but good morning, boys.
St. Okay, Pete,
good
what's morning. Up?
Hey, no, I was going to say I never was a fanny pack guy until I moved here, but I converted. It's way cooler on the back. You don't have to walk around with the sweaty back if you want to have a little extra gear with you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, got to say, and it's not bad, and there's a lot of people down here wearing it, because I don't know about you guys, but about 95 degrees with a backpack on, you get swamped back pretty quick. So, Team Fanny Pack.
Team Fanny Pack.
I appreciate the call, but who are these people that are bringing big backpacks to the beach? Like, is that like a thing? I don't know.
I'll bring something like that. I'll just throw it on my back and put.
Okay. I thought people like bring like beach bags.
Well, my wife brings that, and I'll throw a little batch.
You feel liberated too without having your pockets just shoved with your phone and keys and everything.
Oh, I'm not putting anything in my pockets. No.
So you're unencumbered.
Yes.
It's freeing. It's a freeing experience. Free.
Is it a snap-on?
It definitely has a snap.
Well,
it definitely has a buckle.
Plastic buckle.
You're intriguing me. I don't know that I'm going to get a fanny pack, but maybe,
I feel like
I'd be willing to
cakes,
try it.
Cakes, if you try it, you'll
I'll
be converted.
Never go back.
You'll be converted. The other guys, they don't care.
I
can tell they don't care.
This is probably
cakes. No, I can see your interest.
This is probably 10 years ago. I was at like a birthday celebration for my mother-in-law, and somebody gave her a fanny pack. For her birthday, and I was behind her back joaning. I definitely turned to my wife. I was like, "What?" I was like, "What's going on with your mom with a nerd sack? Like, what's doing here?" But I guess it's a fashion trend that's now officially back.
funny.
Much that, like your whisper voice back.
That wasn't even really my true whisper.
You probably pulled back because of the poll.
That was a hybrid of my whisper right. voice. Yes. I will say the poll was not in my favor. So I think the whisper
it
voice.
It affected you.
The whisper voice
tell.
Is going to be used very sparingly, if at all.
Wow.
I don't know. It might just have to break
you're
out.
Not sticking to your guns.
For very special circumstances.
I like it, Cakes.
Well, you're in the minority. I'll tell you that, JP. You're clearly in the minority.
I say you bring it back. Well,
maybe at some point. You never know. Maybe for a really special occasion. NFL week one. Maybe I'll bring it back.
All right, coming up next, we'll open up the Junkie Sports page. Big weekend in Major League Baseball as Juan Soto took on the Dodgers. Didn't go so well. We'll get into that and more. Keep it here.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Back, JPO 2022. Hitting MGM National Harbor, September 9th. Mark it down on your calendar. It's brought to you by Potomac Metals. You've tried the rest, now scrap with the best. Live long and scrap on. Friday, September 9th. The day before that, Thursday, September 8th, the NFL season opens up officially. We'll be having a get-together there at MGM National Harbor. Stay tuned for more details in the coming weeks.
Yes, you definitely want to be part of Junkies Poker Open. It's been too long. It's now making its triumphant return. We hope to see you at MGM National Harbor. We're predicting big, big turnout.
Yeah, it's going to be huge.
Let's open up the Junkies Sports page brought to you by Impress Technology, an SBA certified hub zone solution provider and Dell federal partner.
All right, a few things to get into here. We'll start off with baseball from the weekend, and we'll start out with the Nats. They were in Philadelphia. They played a four-game series.
Pretty close series.
They were outscored 36-12. They got blasted 13-1 yesterday. Should mention that Patrick Corbin had another awful start over the weekend. Remember, three starts ago against the Dodgers, he went two-thirds of an inning and gave up six runs. Didn't get out of the first inning. Same thing happened over the weekend in Philly. He gave up six runs in two-thirds of an inning.
Yes. It's so think alarming. About this. No, it's an alarming
think about
season
this.
From him.
I don't think people can fathom this, especially if you're not a baseball fan. This is a starting pitcher in Major League Baseball.
Who throws over 90 miles an hour.
Who in 2 years, okay, final year of his contract with the Nats, will be making $35 million.
Oof.
Okay. In two of his last three starts, he pitched two-thirds of an inning and gave up six runs in each of those starts. He's got 16 losses. He's 4-16. That shouldn't happen.
No.
I'm sorry. You don't see starting pitchers, especially that are making huge numbers in their contracts, $25 to $35 million. They don't have starts like that in two of their last three starts. That should not happen.
It's a good thing his contract,
it's a head scratcher.
Good thing his contract is not performance based.
It's not. Well,
his ERA.
It's called a guaranteed deal.
His ERA in July was 7.99. Do you know what it is in August?
16.
15.
18.
Yeah. So it's crazy, man.
So
really
4-16 with a 7.02 ERA. I just heard this morning, and I know you're going to get into the Dodgers-Padres series momentarily, but the Dodgers starting pitchers this year have an ERA sub 2.7.
Mm-hmm.
His is 7.02, and they keep putting him out there.
Well, the
he's like Patrick Corbin this year is like if you put the ball on a tee for these batters.
It's incredible. Now, the reason they keep throwing him out there is, one, he's making a lot of money. All right. Two, he's got to just eat some innings. Now, in those starts, he's not eating innings. He's not even getting out of the first inning. But you can't just throw your bullpen guys out there for 7, 8, 9 innings. You have to have a starter, even if he sucks, eat up 5 innings. So you just don't burn your bullpen arms. Now, yesterday, Corey Abbott, who started for the Nats, he was terrible. But he went out there and threw, I don't know, 5 innings. He had to eat something.
Patrick Corbin's a two-time All-Star.
I'm telling you, I don't think the Nats are going to win as many games as the Orioles did last year, which was 52. I don't think they're going to win 17 more games this year.
Are they 34?
Oh, there's no chance.
What are they, 34?
That's what I'm saying. They're going to have a worse
record.
76. They're 36 and 74. Okay, last year, the Orioles were 52 wins. I don't think they're getting to that number. I think they're going to have – they might have high 40s.
But if you're a hardcore Nats fan, you're not looking at the record anymore, are you? Like,
it's too
embarrassing and too painful.
I mean,
right? Like,
if you're a Nats fan, you're probably not even watching.
You just write this off like this is a horrible season.
Of course,
it's a lost season.
Of course,
I'm not even acknowledging that it's existing.
Isn't that what they did with 2020, and then 2021, and now 2022?
Yeah, I would do it for all those seasons.
Mm. I don't know. I'm just saying that it's hard to be as bad as they are. It's really hard to not win 52 games.
And the thing about it is with
I don't think it's going to happen.
Pitchers that are in Corbin's position where they're 4-16, I feel like managers in the past and organizations have protected those guys from losing 20,
mm-hmm.
but they're just going to keep trotting them out there. He's going to lose 20, which hasn't only happened once.
I mean, I don't know how many times it's happened, but it hasn't happened in a long time. I'm sure guys back in the 1920s were losing a ton of games because they were pitching every 2 days. But it's crazy.
Again, ultimately, he was worth signing because he helped you win a World Series in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been an abject failure since then.
That goes against your guys' theory that you have to be pretty good to lose 20 games. Yeah. He's about the worst I've ever seen.
You don't have to be that.
Worst starting pitcher in the league, and it's not even close. And I tell you what, JoJo Gray is starting to field a little bit. Now, he's only got, I don't know, roughly about 110 innings pitched. I don't know what his number is before they shut him down. Maybe it's 120, 130. He pitched 60 last year, so I can't imagine they're going to go too far beyond 120 or 125 innings. So that's another starter that will go. So these veterans who, the Anibal Sanchez of the world, Patrick Corbin, they got to go out there and they got to start. Because you can't just throw rookies out there every 5 days.
Got to rely on them.
Gray's ERA is ballooned to 4.92.
Yeah, he hadn't been very good in the last 5 or 6 starts. Mm. All right, so also this weekend in Philadelphia, Pete Rose was part of a celebration for the 1980 World Series team that they scrapped the last couple of years because of COVID.
Cakes, can you name two stars, Hall of Famers from that 1980 Phillies team?
Whoa. Now, I'm kind of grasping.
I give you a clue.
No, don't give me any clues. I'm just going to go in this blind. Baseball Cakes going in blind here. Tug McGraw? That's a grasper. Was he on that team?
Feel like he was.
Yep.
All right. I'm going to go with Steve Carlton was one of the pitchers.
Very good.
Thank you, Mike Schmidt.
There you go.
Baseball Cakes is just knocking it out of the park. And I would guess Pete Rose also on that team.
Pete Rose.
Yes.
And so Pete Rose.
Boom.
Knocking it out of the park.
What do you think about that?
Pete Rose dismissed questions on Sunday about his first appearance on the field in Philadelphia since the franchise scrapped those plans in 2017. That was to honor him because of a woman's allegation that baseball's hit king had sex with her when she was a minor. And he was asked about it by a female baseball writer for the Philadelphia Inquirer. And his quote was, or his response was, "It was 55 years ago, babe. Get over it."
Oh, not a great look.
Who cares what it now? He's 81 years old.
Right.
All right. He's an old curmudgeon.
Right. That's what I told Drab. I said, this is what you get when you stick live mics in front of old codgers' mouths. You never know what's going to come out. You never know what the outcome is going to be. He's always going to be a wild card.
He said, who cares what happened 50 years ago? You weren't even born, so you shouldn't be talking about it because you weren't born. If you don't know anything about it, don't talk about it.
Right.
And then he, the reporter tweeted later in the day, after the ceremony, Rose asked her if he had offended her and offered to sign 1,000 baseballs for her.
Who is she? Zach Campbell? Only baseball nerds get that.
And then he apologized.
I like how he uses his autograph as currency.
Right. He loves it. He loves signing baseballs.
It was a weird thing. Like, not 10 baseballs, not 100, 1,000.
1,000 baseballs.
Well, did, how long did it take to sign 1,000 baseballs?
Did you guys see? I felt so old when I saw this video of Pete Rose walking out on the field when they called his name.
Yes.
Right. To me, Pete Rose has always been, I don't know, just a retired baseball player.
Sure.
To see him barely be able to walk out on the field at age 81, right, near death,
yep,
I was like, my life is flying by.
Did he slide head first into second base?
Slide. Cakes, he needed a cane, it looked like.
Well, he just
I'm joking. Of course I know he didn't
slide. Did you guys hear him in the booth doing play-by-play with the radio?
He's a wild man.
I heard some of the comments.
I have some of the audio.
All right, let's hear it.
Tony, congratulations. What did you hit? And Tony says, yo, I hit a fastball. And Joe didn't know what to say. Joe said, no.
He's just out there, man. That's looped out to right field.
You change the subject real quick on that loop out to right field.
I'm just describing the action.
Pretty sure we don't have a 7-second delay, so.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's Pete being Pete.
And just waiting for Pete Rose to stroll in here and just start dropping C-bombs and F-bombs.
When we're 81, we'll probably say the same thing.
Of course we will.
You shocked he placed wagers during professional baseball games?
Not stunned whatsoever. Now, I know Drab also wanted to bring up the fact that I believe intern John has very little file on who Pete Rose is.
And very little. How about none?
Drab was shocked that intern John, who's 18 years old, doesn't know who Charlie Hustle is. And I said to him, well, I have an 18-year-old, and there's no chance that Brendan knows who Pete Rose is.
Right.
Wouldn't know what sport he played. Doesn't know he's the hit king. Doesn't know he's banned from baseball.
Let me ask you this. If he was a huge baseball fan, would he?
Maybe. I'm going to put it at maybe. Hey, I just think 18-year-olds don't care about Pete Rose.
Hey, where's Johnny?
I know Cakes is always Cakes always takes shots at baseball in defense of young
people.
No, it's
the same thing. I don't think my 18-year-old would know who Chris Carter is.
That says a lot about 18-year-old.
I know who Chris Carter is.
I know who Ty Cobb is.
I just think that
So what's your point?
That anyone who watches sports knows who Pete Rose is.
My point is Pete Rose has 4,200 hits. An 18-year-old should know who Pete Rose is.
Well, let me ask Johnny. Do you consider yourself a big baseball fan?
No, not at all.
There you go.
Well,
I don't really think it's in defense of, I just think, a lot of people aren't fans.
Hey, John, it's okay that you don't know who Pete Rose is.
Let me ask you this.
I'm not a swimming fan, but I know who Michael Phelps is.
Let me ask you this.
Well, yeah, but Michael Phelps isn't 400 years old.
Hey, Johnny.
Correct.
Do you know who Cliff Branch is?
Yeah. Is he a receiver, right?
Okay, all right, you've got some. So he's obviously a big football fan. He's just not a baseball fan, so he's not going to know who the old stars are.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I feel baseball, or I would know current all stars and stuff like that, but I'm not going to know Pete Rose, who's basically a stroke victim now.
No.
Well, do you know who Fran Tarkenton is?
Yeah, he's a famous quarterback
for what team?
The Vikings.
See,
all right, so he knows his football.
He's more.
Yeah,
a football
he knows
guy.
His football. So that's what it is. I mean. And there's a lot of other distractions for teenagers and kids in their early 20s with social media and stuff. If you ask me, now I was a huge baseball fan, but if you ask me in 1988 who Willie Mays was, obviously I would know.
My opinion is if you walked out on the street here in D.C. and you asked the first, 118-year-olds you see, mm-hmm, who's Pete Rose, maybe 10 to 15% would know who that person is.
All right, but most of those 18-year-olds aren't working at a sports station and aren't obsessed with sports, like John says he is.
Okay.
That's what's weird to me.
But he doesn't care for baseball.
Yeah, you can be obsessed with sports and have, blind spots, and you can be I don't care about hockey, but I like sports. I just like baseball and football and whatever, college football.
So you think only 10% would know who Rose is?
I think that might be generous. For 18-year-olds?
I think he's probably right.
I mean, when did Pete Rose last play? What was the last year he played in the majors?
BC.
84.
Mid-80s.
Good thing, John. So, like, the early 80s. So, you're talking, like, 40-plus years ago. People just, they're not tracking with Pete
Rose. I know who Bobby Orr is. I've never watched one hockey game outside of the Caps. I don't have an interest in it.
You're more of a sports fan than, I guess, the people that I'm thinking of.
Yeah, but Pete Rose is known more for not just plowing a catcher over an all-star game.
Right.
For gambling on baseball and being banned for life.
I just think you guys are overestimating the popularity of Pete Rose with the 18-year-old set.
Well, obviously we are, because he doesn't know.
Like, do your daughters know who Pete Rose is?
No, but they're not sports fans.
All right, John, do you know what the Pine Tar incident is?
Nope. Oh, yes, I do.
So if I said Pine Tar.
Explain it.
Isn't that where, like...
What player was involved?
I don't know.
No way. Right.
Do you even know who George Brett is?
No.
Okay. So he's not a baseball guy.
I think, wasn't that when they would, like, have that... Like, I know a little bit this because of the Bad News Bears.
Let's hear his explanation.
Like, when they would have that, the stuff under their ball cap, and they would kind of rub that and then put it on the ball, right, for, like, a better grip or something?
I mean, that's
incorrect.
Look. That's what the pitcher. How's he close?
Pine Tar was not. It didn't involve
the
pitcher.
The Pine Tar incident has to do with George Brett hitting a home run.
He's speaking to my.
And
taken away because the Pine Tar was too far up his bat.
No, but these are all just like almost pop culture things, right? But they're not necessarily just sports nerdery.
Intern John is reinforcing my theory. This is my theory alone that most 18-year-olds. Aren't big baseball fans.
It's not a theory. It's fact.
I just think that's true.
Yeah, no, I would agree.
He's not a big baseball fan, like most 18-year-olds are not big baseball fans. Every time I see somebody walking around my neighborhood with Nats gear on, they're 60-plus. Hmm. They just are. I don't see a bunch of 14-year-olds rocking Nats gear in my neighborhood. I don't. Every time I see a person wearing a curly W... They're basically getting mail from AARP.
To be fair, do you see them wearing Commander's gear or Wizards gear?
No, but I'm saying exclusively when I see people wearing Nats gear, old.
All right, real quick, I just want to say that there's two more series I want to talk about. Mets beat the Braves 4 out of 5. DeGrom struck out 12 yesterday in less than 6 innings. It was unbelievable. So they own the Braves. They own them for the season, and they own them in the division. They've opened up a 6.5-game lead. And the Dodgers swept the Padres. So the Padres went all in, making those huge trades for 4 players since the Soto trade and others. They're 1-4, and they got swept in L.A. by the Dodgers. They were outscored 20-4. And to me, that's a big deal. The Padres are saying it's not a big deal. We're not concerned. But I think it's a big deal when you get outplayed after you acquired the big superstar, Juan Soto, and you got outscored 20-4 and got swept.
Hey, GovSmart, they've been serving government for more than 10 years, designing the IT solutions that make environments more efficient, responsive, and secure. Top-level status with manufacturers allows GovSmart to maximize budgets, and GovSmart simplifies procurement with government-wide acquisition contracts, SBA hub zone status, and excellent past performance. GovSmart, intelligent IT solutions for government. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Coming up at 8 o'clock, Michael Phillips covers the Commanders for Richmond Times-Dispatch. He'll join us, give us the latest on Carson Wentz, what's been going on in training camp. We talked earlier about the inconsistency from Wentz. We'll get back to that coming up at 8:25. You can vote on the Junkies poll of the day at Junks Radio about your level of concern regarding the reports that Carson Wentz has been inaccurate in camp. Right now, 64% are at least troubled and worried from the reports. And how can they not be? Because there haven't been many positive reports
regarding Wentz's play. So we'll talk to Michael Phillips about that, get into that more after that interview. Mm-hmm. But there were a couple of golf stories over the weekend, and I saw the Will Zalatoris story and actually surprisingly clicked on it and read it over the weekend, because it was interesting to me that a really good player on the tour, I think he's finished second in three majors, Zalatoris, didn't he finish second?
He had two runner-ups in the PGA and the U.S. Open.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe it was only two.
He's had eight top six finishes this year.
I know he's really good. Young, skinny guy. To Blondie. Me, he looks like Patrick Korda. Remember that tennis player?
Peter Korda.
That's yeah. right. That he fired his caddy mid-round.
Yes.
Like, you never really hear that.
It's been his only caddy since he's been on tour. And Ryan Goebel's his name. And he did. And it's kind of interesting when that happens, because if you look at his career, he's had a really good career. Do you have any clips
from carried that? The bag the rest of the round?
Yeah, who steps in?
No, it wasn't in the middle of the round, was it?
No, middle of the I think it was middle of the tournament.
Okay, middle of the tournament. Yeah, yeah.
That'd be something. That's something you see in Tin Cup.
Okay, I misread it. But like, he'd carry his bag himself.
He had somebody else from his team carry the bag.
Yeah,
yesterday.
Like a swing coach carry it for him. The rest of the day.
But when you have a guy who's been so successful over the last couple of years, and we just threw out some of his stats, it's interesting that you fire your caddy. But he just said, you know, the on the course stuff was bleeding into their personal relationship, and he considered him one of his best friends.
Yeah, they would go out to dinner. From what I read, they would go out to dinner regularly, and now all of a sudden they were, you know, rehashing rounds. Probably his missed putts. Isn't Zalatoris notorious for not being the best of putters?
He's not a great putter.
So maybe he was blaming, you know, the reeds on his caddy.
Sure,
you said it was going to be one ball outside.
It could be a litany of things.
At the Purple Heart Open, I always blame Valdez for just awful reeds. It couldn't be my jerky putting stroke.
But it's interesting that he does that right before the FedEx Cup playoffs start, which is three events starting this week for huge money. But he did that. The other thing that was interesting was this was Nick Faldo's final broadcast after 16 years with CBS with Jim Nantz. And he's calling it quits. He's going to go retire, go live in Montana in his mountain house on the lake.
Sounds silly. Sounds amazing.
And yesterday was his final broadcast.
Does it sound amazing?
Yes.
Well, not for me. You're around nothing.
Yeah.
That's what he likes. Perfect. That's what he wants to do.
He's going to live in a secluded Montana house where he's going to go fly fishing. He probably goes hunting. And it sounds amazing.
Oh,
sounds fantastic.
And terrible to me.
Oh, and the setting amazing. Was, this was the setting at the very end of the tournament. It was Ian Baker Finch, Nick Faldo, Jim Nantz, and Frank Nobilo. They were all on the set. And I'm sure Faldo has been preparing for this for weeks, months of what to say. And Ian Baker Finch actually got choked up. He started to cry because they've been friends forever. Nobilo was also there, and he started to talk a little bit. Nantz was just trying to keep everyone calm. But Faldo literally couldn't talk, and this is what it sounded like.
You said one time, I'm not very often at a loss for words. I am now, except just to say, Nick, your final thoughts on this remarkable run.
I blew it.
You got it, mate.
I was all ready.
It's been a great journey.
You've always been ready, mate.
We've been lucky. Mm-hmm. We've been very fortunate.
16 years.
People only knew.
Hang on.
The time that you get
breathe.
To spend together.
Let's say you breathe. Five seconds breathing. Okay.
You got this.
So I was in a boat in Ireland, and they gave me a call and said, how would you like to sit next to Jim Nantz? I literally fell out the boat. I really did. That was 2006, and here we are 16 years later.
It's been an amazing run.
Mm-hmm.
And Frank, Ian, I know you have
Nantz,
a final word to say to this great man.
He's a pro.
Yeah, he was just trying to bridge it, and yep. he was expecting Fowler to have this big announcement and right. thank everybody.
Yeah, some soliloquy.
And he tried to at the end. He started thanking all of the, you know, the behind the scenes, the cameramen, the producers. And
he threw in the boat story.
He did, but he literally couldn't talk. He couldn't compose himself, and it was hard for me to watch. Drabby,
that was awkward.
It was awkward.
Nance
was
so silly though. Just carrying him across the goal line.
Oh, Nance was just the pro. He was awesome. Yeah. I mean, if that was me, I would have just. I probably wouldn't have said anything to him.
Do you think Valdez is going to get like that with us in his last show?
No, he's going to say, good riddance, you old codger.
I mean, he's yeah. been with us almost as long as Nick Faldo. 16 years. How long have you been with us? About 13, 14 years?
13 years. Yeah. And when I leave, I'm going like a fart in the wind.
I know. I can't imagine any of us doing that if it was our last show.
No. But,
Dravid, did you watch it live?
No. And in fact, I didn't even know about that until this morning.
Yeah, I watched it live, and it was hard to watch. For me,
I hate stuff like that.
I was crying because I had Tom Kim in my golf pool and he shot 27 on the front nine.
Right, love that.
I thought tears of joy. But he also had Siwoo Kim in our slider cup pool.
I had him too,
and he was leading the tournament, and then he got sick, and he withdrew after three rounds. He was leading the tournament. He was either leading outright or he was tied.
It was tied.
Yeah. And I looked on the list of players, and Valdez at CU. I was like, oh, bad beat. But Faldo, man, that was hard to watch.
Who's replacing him?
Immelman.
Yeah, Immelman.
Yeah, Trevor Immelman.
You want to hear more of the awkwardness?
Yeah, sure, of course. Whatever you got. Play it.
Yeah, it's been an amazing 16 years. It's been 40 years since we've known you. And lots of water under the bridge and maybe a lot more water flowing down that East Gallatin River up in Montana.
Breathe,
the fly
breathe,
ride.
Breathe.
Looking forward to it.
Nick, if it's about loving this great game.
Yeah. You thanks always to all the crew. You're as I affectionately and respectfully call you the workers. They put the pictures out. We do the rattling. We have an easy job. Mm-hmm. Thank you all.
I don't like they called him the worker.
Yeah.
Wow. By the way, the Daily Mail. Offensive to producers alike.
The Daily Mail just crushed him in the headline. Said he's going to retire in his Montana farm with 125 acres with his new wife, who has six ex husbands and is a former topless dancer. So, yeah. they couldn't even let him ride topless off into the sunset. Yeah.
T-O-P-L-E-S-S.
Just crushing him.
They killed him.
I think it's his fourth wife, too.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
There's 10 marriages between them.
Yep.
Nobody likes a quitter.
No, I mean, that doesn't speak a lot for stability, but maybe they found the perfect person at the right time. I don't know.
But hey.
She ain't ugly either.
She's all right.
I thought she was pretty hot for her age. Come on, man.
Will you guys give the producer some props for smashing our part of the parlay? You guys are just big losers in that room over there.
I give you credit.
Hold on a second.
Why not?
No, whoa.
Maybe not Jason.
Step back. You step back, my friend. What was my pick?
I actually don't remember yet.
Thank you. All right, shocker. It's all about them.
I know Boz lost. I know Cakes lost.
Hold on.
JP lost.
Hold on. Trey Turner to have at least two hits. What did he do on Friday night?
I'm guessing he had two hits.
Thank you.
Well,
give me some props if you're going to give yourself props.
If it's going to be like this, why don't we skip having a parlay and you just do your individual plays?
Oh, see, JP now pissed off.
Oh, I don't even know. Like, it's stupid. We all lost.
All right, what happened?
It's a parlay. It's
guys,
a team.
Did you guys both hit your plays?
Of course, yeah. We have and monster odds, and we hit them all the time.
I didn't even notice.
Kevin Harvick won as a 25-1 underdog.
Nice job.
Good for you.
And you had
it's
top three
loss.
Finish.
Yeah, did you guys place those bets individually, or did you just
might
do it
have
the parlay?
To. Might have to.
Do it.
Right.
We do. We bet all the time. Why is JP so defensive?
I don't know.
Because it's a weird dance of...
Why do you think?
It's
why
a weird dance. It's a team play.
They're just pointing out that their long shot plays hit. So every time
so
that happens...
do it individually.
Am I taking crazy pills, or does JP always talk about when his bet hits?
All the time.
All the time. What is going on here?
I don't know. Does he? It doesn't happen very
trust
often.
Trust me, I would have been crowing if my draw bet had hit. It didn't, and it ruined the parlay on Friday. Like, Friday afternoon, the parlay was officially dead. Dead in the water. But that's what happens when you take a plus 320 grasper.
Well, I just saw that the... what's the Donkey Kong that called us and said he was the greatest handicapper ever? Yeah, he said that he was the greatest handicapper ever, and his pick lost. So I knew that parlay was done.
Right.
So I didn't pay attention to the other stuff.
Coming up next, Michael Phillips covers the Commanders for the Richmond Times-Dispatch. We'll get the latest on Carson Wentz and the Commanders training camp as it is week one of the NFL preseason.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.